It's not even working.
Mariah, how's the research going over there?
I got an insult. Wait, I really want to make this insult generator work so I can figure out what your guys' things
are. You can't insult me because we're on the same team.
No, I won't insult you. I would never insult my own teammate.
Well, while she looks, listeners, welcome to the cabin. We are in a competitive mindset today, and so Mariah is trying to look up the best insults to sling for this cold open. Stay tuned.
I didn't even realize this had started.
I got it.
Yo, Mariah, your insults are so bad, you got to look them up on the internet.
That's true. I'm trying to figure out what... Okay, let's see. Eric, you're just a squirrely booger twig.
Ooh.
And Dave, you're a crusty...
I've been called much worse.
A crusty toad sniffer.
Yeah, what she said.
Little lint lickers.
You got me.
Uh-huh. I'm just here to hype
you. Got me good.
This is so fun. Can we just do a whole episode where we insult each other? Eric's stunned. He's like, I don't even know how to react to those mean little insults.
Well, why are we feeling so competitive today, guys?
Well, apparently it's not a rap battle, but it is an East-West Coast battle. And we're just going over some of our favorite stuff in the state for the West Coast to the East Coast, which means Wausau, Stevens Point, Madison, Beloit, and Janesville.
I'm being left out.
I don't know which one we're counting y'all as, so we'll figure this out as we go along.
Maybe eventually we'll do a north side, south side debate, but for now, this is a showdown between west and east, and it's also kind of a battle of the sexes little setup right now. Me and Alan taking the west side.
And me and Audio Dave are going to be taking on the east side, the better side. As I bob my head, I should be wearing my sunglasses if we're doing an East-West Coast rap battle here, right? I mean, that just makes sense.
Yes. Wear your sunglasses.
Okay. Well, the cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Jackson County, which technically would be West Side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jackson County sits at the edge of the famous Driftless area, which narrowly evaded the Laurentide ice sheet during the last ice age. Who the heck wrote this part in?
Wow.
Is that you?
The Laurentide ice sheet?
Ah, yes. That ice sheet.
That ice sheet. I'm just trying to be specific in these outlines.
Over geologic history, I see. All right.
Wait. Alan, how long does it take you to Google these facts or research these facts? Because these...
Well, I try to find the good ones.
They're,
okay.
Like, I feel like you're going to the deep corners of the internet to find the Laurentide ice sheets. I've never heard that term.
I'm just trying to be specific.
Very specific. I appreciate it.
There's lots of ice sheets.
Are there now?
How many are there? Tell us more about how many there are.
Many.
Six.
What do you know about the Laurentide ice sheet?
I know it's a big one.
Well, I know a lot about the Wisconsin glaciation period. That's what created the Great Lakes and helped create the Driftless area. But I know nothing about the Laurentide ice sheet. But if you know your history, feel free to let us know around the campfire. I'd love to know that story. Jackson County is in southwest Wisconsin, technically. I guess that would be southern half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barely. County seat is Black River Falls, which is actually a beautiful area right along the Black River. The falls there, the dam, the fishing and hunting and everything around there is just incredible. Jackson County has a lot of great ATV trails and snowmobile trails, camping destinations for that. Our co-host Jack Taylor's from there. And it was named, like so many things named Jackson, after President Andrew Jackson, the 7th President of the United States. And Jackson County dates back to 1853. And one more thing, shout out to my friends at Sand Creek Brewing Company in Black River Falls.
And there's some elk in Jackson County. So if you want to do some elk spotting, there's only a couple of places in Wisconsin you can go and spot one, and Jackson County is one of them.
Hmm.
There's a big orange one along the interstate.
Where that?
That's a moose. That's a moose, actually. The large orange moose along I-94 at Highway 54.
Same family,
check
right?
That out. It's close enough.
Close enough.
Y'all ready to hear my game show sting?
I cannot wait. I love it.
Excellent work, Audio Dave.
And welcome to the Cabin Game Show. I'm Wink Bartendale, and we're playing for great prizes today.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Do you have one queued up when it gets like really, like a, do you have like a womp, womp, womp when you guys are wrong on the East Coast? I can't imagine the West Coast girls are going to need that.
Well, I'm just saying. That's funny that you bring that up, because I was realizing that we've been split down the middle. Two of us are on East Coast and two of us are on West Coast, and we do not have a moderator here. So I guess we'll just have to leave it to whoever is triggering the sound effects to see where the points go.
Cool by me.
No. The listeners are going to vote in Around the Campfire, okay?
Hey, soundboard, do you think East Coast is going to win? Hey, soundboard, do you think the West Coast is going to win?
Ooh, this is cheating, Dave. That's tough.
That's tough.
Where are your ethics, Audio Dave?
I don't know what you're talking about. Soundboard is acting on its own.
Hey, soundboard, it kind of sounds like, hey, Googler, hey, Alexa, yeah. Or hey, yeah. Siri.
Okay, so yes, we're going to do a showdown here between East Coast, West Coast. We thought we'd get a little competitive. Actually, it's our colleague, producer Jess Murphy, who suggested this idea. Apparently, she wants to hear us fight on the podcast. That's probably when we're at our best, when we're in disagreement. So this idea came from her. So we did come up with some categories, and I think we're ready to duke it out here. What do you guys say?
Fine with me. There's more categories added since I last looked at this, so I'm going to have to do
that
some stuff
on
the fly. It's all right. I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what? Mariah, why don't you start? Why don't you pick a category at random? I don't think we need to go in order.
Okay.
Ooh.
I like that. Okay. So Ellen and I have the West Side. I want to start with the category, which you guys won't even be able to hold a candle to, best views. So, Ellen, I think did you add this first one in here? Or was this me? I don't even remember.
I dropped this first one in.
Okay.
And so for best view, I said top of the bluffs. You may ask, which bluff? And to that I would say, all of them, because we have the Driftless area. Like, that's just it. That's the whole thing.
And how many bluffs are there? We don't know. A lot of them. Because it's a Driftless.
A whole bunch.
But you know, it's not just the Driftless. You can head up to Northwest Wisconsin, where you're going to find Juniper Rock Overlook in the Grandview Cable area for a stunning panoramic view of the forests and fall colors if you visit in October. So try to beat that, East Side.
That's
They're
all
shaking.
You got?
They're nervous.
That's,
They're like,
That's all you got?
I mean, I feel like I could just play back our episode on Door County and have Mariah debate herself, because I'm pretty sure she mentioned the best sunset view in Wisconsin.
False.
Being in Door County.
Didn't happen.
That's a pretty good view right there.
Never said
that. That was pretty narrowed down to a sunset view. Like,
yeah, it was highly
specific.
Every
view from the top of a bluff. Every view from the top of a bluff. Okay. Any time of the day is a good view.
Is Door County going to be your cop-out answer for every category?
No, it will not. I made sure it wouldn't be.
All right.
So go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, Eric, team captain, step in here.
Ellen, they can't even decide who's going to give the first view. This is already, they're already on the, not on the same page here as a team.
Well, on the Door County side, we were talking about Ellison Bay Overlook probably being the best of those views in Door County. But of course, there's a ton of them everywhere you go, whether you want the sunrise or the sunset. And I'm assuming, I know the sunsets because I'm never awake during the sunrise. We East Coast people, you know, we tend to sleep in a little. Other great views,
isn't it
frankly,
the opposite?
Yeah, but I go against the flow, you know that.
Okay.
So, other great views include, obviously, we have Lake Michigan on the east side. So, when you're talking about Lions Gorge County Park, which is in Mequon in Ozaukee County, you've got big cliffs that lead down to the lake. It's right by Concordia University, too. You're 60, 80 feet up on bluffs and cliffs, and you overlook the expanse of Lake Michigan. And you can get a great view of the soils and the cross sections of the bluff and the trees. And it's an absolutely beautiful view that a lot of people would swear you were in California looking at. That is an amazing view.
Ellen, you have the luxury of telling him he only has this, like, hold up a number when they have five seconds left. So make sure you time their answers so they don't go on too long.
Excellent. Yeah, if Dave has control of the soundboard, I have control over the time restraints.
Exactly.
You're out of time, buddy.
Dave also edits this. I got more views than that. Are we just going with a single best? Because we got a bunch listed here.
Okay, you can do one more.
I'm going to say the view from the Hone Bridge coming into Milwaukee. You see the skyline. You see Lake Michigan. You see the Summerfest grounds. You see Miller Park. You see the Western Hemisphere's largest four-faced clock. in the world. You see all the skyline up the east side. It is a beautiful view driving into a major city. And when you have a friend coming in from the airport, you take them up that way. No matter where they're from, they're impressed by what they see.
They're not sitting atop a bluff, though.
No, they're sitting on top of a bridge that looks like a McDonald's, but so what?
That's some points coming in from the soundboard on that one. So next category.
Oh my goodness, I have jacked.
That was points coming in for the West Side. Anywho, we will give you the next category just because we're going back and forth out of fairness, not because you won that point.
Well, let's see. I will go with best events.
Oh God, I knew you were going to pick this one.
And you can start.
No, you have to start because you picked the category.
We're making well, these rules up as we go.
I was talking about, yeah, we didn't rehearse this. Just do we ever? Alert.
People know we don't rehearse by this. We're 32 episodes in.
I got a bunch of them, but I have to start, of course, with it's a weird year to talk about events, too, by the way, because everything's gotten canceled this year.
Not on
but
the West
Side. Of course,
side.
Summerfest, the world's largest music festival, indisputably, whatever. One of the largest and most amazing events in the state of Wisconsin, if not the world, over 800 artists over 11 days on 11 plus stages. So that's my big one, and I got Mo if you want. But go ahead.
Just rapid fire the rest of ours.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear them.
Okay. EAA Air Venture, the world's largest fly-in. Wisconsin State Fair, of course. Bristol Renaissance Fair, which is always awesome all summer long, except for this year. And Mile of Music in Appleton, very unique and cool. A whole mile of music, over 70 bands playing in the streets. Taste of Wisconsin in Kenosha. Unique Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc. We've talked about that history before. And in Lake Geneva in the wintertime,
because
we've got to do something in the winter. Hold on. U.S. Snow Sculpting Competition and Winterfest.
I will like to say that anything that is Taste of and then city name is such a cheap shot because that is statewide.
Well, this is Taste of Wisconsin, so it's not a city name. Boom.
Okay.
Okay, I just went back to my Google tab and I still had the PG insults brought up.
Uh-oh.
Which really made me laugh while you were rattling those off. I was reading what my next insult was going to
be.
Wow,
she can't even pay attention in this debate.
I landed on dim-witted fudge nugget. That's you, Eric.
Oh, that's me.
Dave, don't laugh.
I don't get it.
I got one reserved for you too, audio Dave.
I'm not ready.
Mariah?
What?
Mariah?
Huh?
Mariah?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Huh?
He doesn't get it because he's a dim-witted fudge nugget.
I was trying to play along.
I didn't get it.
You
I didn't get
buttock.
It. I didn't get it that you didn't get it that you were trying to play off. Okay, anyways.
This is all cutting right into your time.
Events. You know what? Here on the West Side, we are all about quality over quantity when it comes to events. So, Ellen, I want you to shout out the first one because you know this event probably better than any of us.
I'm here to represent La Crosse Oktoberfest.
Ooh,
you are incorrect.
This is
the Oktoberfest of Oktoberfests in Wisconsin.
The king of them all.
The king of them all. It's undeniable. If you go to school there, if you have friends that go to school there, you know you went there in college. You know what I mean? And then all of your lax friends hosted, and it was the best.
You better to tell people what lax friends means.
Your La Crosse University friends.
That's right. A lot of people don't know, I'm just saying.
So just the one over there?
I also would like to shout out the... Dave, audio Dave, chirping in there. The American Birkebeiner, one of the most iconic and largest cross-country ski events in the world, is held in northwestern Wisconsin between Cable and Hayward. I have long said this. When people ask me what has been my favorite event of all the events I've filmed for at Discover Wisconsin, it has been, my answer consistently has been, the American Birkebeiner. Nothing beats that drama. And you know what the West Side does really well that I, you know, had a question over there on the East Side for you boys is really great winter events. Anyone can do a summer festival, but can you get people to come and do a winter event from, you know, December through March? I think the West Side got it handled.
Maybe if you weren't reading your insults and you were listening to Eric, you would have heard him mention Winterfest in Lake Geneva.
Ellen was also busy trying to cut me off for time. So.
I did hear that one, but it was the only one I heard. And that's that.
We're having fun.
Wait, did you... Who is that chime for? You just gave a...
Me. It's always for me.
It's a personal chime. We're not voting here because it's too unfair. We will, after this episode goes out, we will run some polling in around the campfire. to determine the winner.
Fair enough.
Even though we'll already know who it is.
And we're going to embark in some therapy sessions right after the conclusion of this recording. So don't worry, everybody. We'll be back next week, I think. Okay, so I get to pick the next category, right?
Sure.
How about I want to do best food.
Ooh, okay.
I think East Side is going to feel kind of cocky on this front, but I've got some dark horses on the West Side.
All right, let's hear Mariah.
Go for it.
Mm. Me? Okay. So, I want to talk about downtown Eau Claire. Has got some of the best restaurants I've experienced in the entire state of Wisconsin, especially when you consider the livery. A lot of people know of the livery. It's phenomenal dining, as well as the Acoustic Cafe. And what I also like about the West Side is we talked about this in a couple weeks ago episodes, all of the destination dining opportunities, so the farm to fork spots, are just phenomenal. I mean, they are great across the state, but I do think the West Side takes the cake when it comes to some like rural dining options. One I wanted to call out is one I bet a lot of people have not heard of, and I want you all to look it up. It's called Blue Goose Pizza in Lafarge, literally in the middle of nowhere. Gorgeous surroundings, amazing food. They take cash only. You've been warned. And just look up the Google Maps view of this, just because the area, when I went, first of all, it was so busy. I couldn't believe that many people drove out of their way to like all congregate in this, like what seemed to be in the middle of the Driftless destination. The food's just amazing. I believe there were goats there and some other like fun little farm animals, and just a really, really cool spot. The other one I wanted to shout out is Stockholm Pie and General Store in Stockholm, right on the Mississippi River. When it comes to food on the West Side, I think the hidden gems are the name of the game here. These are all places that are like in really tiny areas for the most part, but actually get national recognition. And Stockholm Pie and General Store has been voted, I think they got like America's Best Pie. And there's also Pete's Hamburgers, an iconic hamburger stand down in Prairie du Chien.
I've poached a few burgers there.
Mm-hmm.
Poach them. You sizzle them in water and onions. Mm. It's a very unique experience.
See?
Sounds like you enjoyed it.
Yeah, sounds like you agreed with these choices.
I didn't say the West Side sucked for that. I said it's really good, but the East Side's got a lot of great food destinations too.
Like what?
So many, I was like, okay, which ones do I boil it down to even? I don't even know, for crying out loud. I'm actually going to start with a friend of mine's restaurant called The Cheel. Mm-hmm. Strange name, right? Mm-hmm. It's in Thiensville, which is nestled inside Mequon, just south of Cedarburg in Ozaukee County, just north of Milwaukee. Himalayan Asian fusion. It's one of the most unique restaurants in the state. There are people that come from all around the country to check it out. They had a reviewer from the San Francisco Chronicle in there last year. And it's owned by my friends Barka and Jesse. Barka's from Kathmandu, Nepal. And she makes super unique dishes for us. I mean, they're common, you know, 20,000 feet up in Nepal. But you will get dishes made of lamb and beef and all kinds of vegetables and akshar, which is their version of a sauce, and dips, and a unique combination of foods that you can barely pronounce, much less automatically know the ingredients of. But the spices, the food styles, the momo, which are kind of like empanadas, you know, every place has their kind of little, or like empanadas or empanadas and pasties. They have a thing called momo, which is much better, and they're smaller and they're really savory. They have so many unique foods, and they're in the middle of this little town where you would never, ever guess a place like that is there.
Wow.
And I guarantee you, if you go there, you will have a culinary experience that you've never had before and you can't find anywhere else in the state. And they're not even paying me to do that, but they better give me a free beer next time I go in.
And in terms of general foods, not so much specific restaurants, we have Sheboygan, which is the self-proclaimed bratwurst capital of the world.
Brat Days is a huge celebration there every year, but this one.
Yep. And then in Northeast Wisconsin, which I never realized was a regional thing, but we have Booyah. Do you guys have a lot of Booyah growing up?
You know, that I know that's a Green Bay thing, and it's kind of a stew, right?
Yeah, it's like a soup that is, I'm pretty sure you can only make it in 20 to 50 gallon batches. It's, I remember growing up, we would always have it with like church groups and kind of neighborhood gatherings. You would just cook it all day. One person would be sitting there with basically a canoe oar stirring the thing. It's, I think, Belgian soup, I want to say.
Sounds right.
There's a couple interesting stories of how it started. But basically, I think the one I saw was it started at a fundraiser. And this teacher said that they were going to be making this soup. And a reporter was like, well, how do you spell it? And he was trying to spell bouillon, the French word, but he didn't know how to spell it. And so he spelled it B-O-O-Y-A-H, bouillah.
Now, that's a nugget that I didn't know, but I like that.
That's a great
story.
Nugget. And I feel like it's the, like, that is the way I would expect Wisconsin to translate French.
Yep.
Copy.
What are some of the classic ingredients in bouillah? Now I'm curious.
Bunch of vegetables, kind of thin broth, a lot of times chicken, just a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of like a thin vegetable chicken soup.
So it's kind of like pho, the Vietnamese pho soup in a way, it sounds like.
Delicious.
Yeah. Every place has their own culinary stuff. Speaking of culinary delights, Milwaukee is the home of Butterburgers. And I should give a shout to places like Solly's Grill and Cops.
And Kroll's
they
East.
They really pioneered Kroll's East and West in Green Bay.
Are those
there's
fighting words?
On the west side there. What, Kroll's?
No.
He's getting a little long-winded.
Hey, look. Culver's got inspired by Butterburgers. They're on the west side, but the Butterburgers started in Milwaukee in the 30s.
Ellen says you're rambling. What I was pointing out is we're the home of the Butterburger thing. I know that the Milwaukee area claims it. Do some people feel that the Sauk Prairie area claims it because that's the home of Culver's? Or is that a point of contention?
They just made it famous. They just turned it into the best fast food burger around. That's all.
All right, Eric, Dave, your category is up.
Let's go with historic destinations.
Oh, we win.
For 400, Alex.
Okay, what are you going to go? Hey, did you see my
insult
in the chat?
You got to take this one. You're the...
Look in the chat. I added a chat thing.
This is very good podcasting.
You added a chat thing.
Yeah, I insulted you guys in the chat room.
You just sent me a whole link of 87 insults. Did you mean all of them?
No, look in the chat, I said.
I mean, yes, she did mean all of them.
No, did you see the first chat? I said, you're a goatish flybitten codpiece. And then I wrote, source. It was a Shakespeare insult website that I found on the internet.
Very okay. Nice. You got me.
Yeah. Did all of you guys see that? Or did it just go to
no.
Dave?
I have our script stuff on the screen in between all of our pictures, so I didn't see
okay,
it
so you said best historic destination. Are you going
There's
for
a
survive?
Lot of editing you're going to have to do on this, Dave. I think since we picked the category, I got to do the first one. So for historic destinations, Mariah, I'm going to start in Green Bay because it's the oldest city in the state, and places like Heritage Hill really portray that history with an authentic 19th century village, information on the landings here in the 1600s when Nicolette came in, or Nicolet, I should say. And so Wisconsin's history started, at least from the European thing on forward, in Green Bay, the east side.
Very nice.
What you got?
Well, I got a lot. First of all, I'm going to start us off at one of Wisconsin's most interesting historic sites. Actually, Ellen, I'll let you do the honors because I think you're the one who added this one to the list.
I'm going to start things off with Villa Louis.
Ah, and the second oldest city in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
It's Prairie du Chien.
It's Prairie du Chien. It's way over on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I know very little about it, but I'm going to let Mariah finish that one because that's all I got.
It is actually on an island, on St. Ferial Island in Prairie du Chien, which is about as southwest as you can get in the state of Wisconsin. And this is one of my absolute favorite historic sites in the entire state, partly because I believe that Villa Louis has the largest actual authentic collection of decor and belongings from the family still in the home. So when you walk in, it looks pretty much exactly like it would have back in the 1800s. And it's on an island, which is pretty cool. I also want to talk about another official Wisconsin historic site, and that is Pendarvis over in Mineral Point. And honestly, when you want to talk history, we could talk about that entire town because they build themselves as one of the oldest cities in Wisconsin, and they fought to be the county seat back in, well, what
year? You mean the state capital?
Well, both. Actually, the state capital and the county seat. I think I talked about this on the podcast where they were fighting.
Yes.
Dodgeville.
Cannons and all that.
Yes. Yeah. So really cool history. But Pendarvis is amazing. Just a really cool campus. I don't think they're currently open right now. But when the COVID stuff starts lifting again, I would highly recommend everybody check that one out. And I also wanted to talk about, Platteville. I don't think we've brought this one up on the podcast, but the Mining and Rollo Jamison Museums in Platteville. I'm also going to loop in Cave of the Mounds into my answer as well, even though that one's in Blue Mounds, not in Platteville, but not too far apart. Two amazing underground historic destinations that you can check out that I don't think you can really find anything similar throughout the rest of the state.
And to that, I say take that.
All right.
Well, I got some more.
On the east side?
You gave several. Yeah, on the east side. First of all, in Watertown, you can see where the first kindergarten ever took place. And it's right behind one of the historic octagon houses, which definitely worth checking out. 1856 is when we had the first kindergarten in the United States, and it just happened to be in Watertown. And also a shout out to music. Great blues history can be found in, of all places, Grafton and Port Washington. Paramount Records was located there 100 years ago. They made classic blues and jazz albums on 78s, the big, heavy old records that led to inspiration for the blues artists that came out in the 50s, the people who invented rock and roll and country. The records they listened to, many of them were pressed in Grafton and Port Washington, mostly by African-American musicians who kind of snuck up from Chicago by train into Grafton, and they'd record and then head back usually. And that all came about because a chair company that made the big pieces of furniture that would hold a record player wanted people to be able to buy records to play on their record players that they bought. And so that's a fascinating history, and they celebrate it every year, except this one, with the Paramount Music Festival, which I suggest you check out if you're a music fan.
Well, it's a good thing I'm already on your team, because that would have swayed me. That was point-worthy.
Oh, stop it.
Totally objective comment from Audio Dave.
This is ludicrous.
Is it our pick now?
Yep. Ellen, you pick.
I'm going to go with best day trip. And I'm going to start with a drive along the Great River Road.
And it's not just any drive. This is, and it's not just any road. This has been voted America's most scenic byway. It is the king of road trip destinations, the Great River Road, Highway 32.
Five.
It meanders a Highway 35. It meanders along. It meanders along the Mississippi River. So if you go north to south, you're going to have the Mississippi River to your right, and you're going to have all these amazing towns and beautiful ridges to your left. You're going to have some of the best pullover stops. Like, when you go on this road trip, you are going to see historic markers, and you're going to want to stop more than you drive just because it's that beautiful. And there are more teeny tiny towns, I think, on this little road trip than arguably anywhere. You're going to find towns of literally like 55 people, and they're going to be full of little hidden gems like Stockholm Pie, what we just talked about earlier. There's the Trempealeau Hotel. Then you're going to get to La Crosse. You're going to get all the way down to Prairie du Chien, stop at Wyalusing State Park. Just a little bit of everything. You can do a little fishing on the Mississippi River. Literally the best day trip of all time. Your surf.
Got a pretty good day trip along the water on our side, too. Actually, it starts near Highway 32, Mariah.
Oopsie, my bad.
Around Sheboygan near Manitowoc. but I would suggest following the Lake Michigan Circle Tour. Now, if you start it from all the way down in Kenosha and go all the way, that's not a day trip. That's 2 or 3 days. But if you want to start in Manitowoc and follow the Lake Michigan Circle Tour, that's highways 42 up, 57 back. You go through Manitowoc, you go right along the lake into Two Rivers and check out the Rogers Street Historic Fishing Village and a place where the ice cream sundae was invented. You go through towns like Algoma and Kewaunee, and boom, then you go up into Door County, and you can run up the Lake Michigan coast and then back down the Green Bay coast, or vice versa, it's up to you. And if you keep following it back out of Door County, you end up in Green Bay for the night, and you could check out all the historic stuff we saw, all the Packer stuff that's there. They have a lot of great restaurants, and that makes for one beautiful day trip with tons of water to see also. More water, less bluffs. That's the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Water kind of looks like water everywhere, though, doesn't it? Bluffs look like totally different.
Well, there's bluffs on the Green Bay side, so shove it.
We got time for one more category?
Sure.
Yeah, one more. Go ahead.
All right. All the marbles, if you can pick one destination to really sell your coast by, what's it going to be?
This is evil.
Now, we got two heavy hitters, so I'll let Eric make the choice. We've got two star players. Which one are you going to go with?
Well, I'm going to go with Milwaukee. It's the largest city in the state, and it has the most to offer. Whether you want to check out downtown, you want to check out all these amazing museums, including the internationally renowned Milwaukee Art Museum with the legendary wings that are recognized internationally. Whether you want to kayak up and down the river amidst the skyscrapers that are on either side of you, you want to check out great theater, you want to check out the Mitchell Park Domes, one of the coolest horticultural conservatories in the world, Milwaukee County Zoo, anything and everything you could possibly want to see, whether it's with an international flair or just a cozy little place to go check out a supper club or a jazz club. Milwaukee has so much of it. And because it's so big, we don't get specific about Milwaukee a lot, but there's no question it's a great destination to check out and explore, especially the closer you get to the lake.
Very nice. Mm. We're going to beat you with Door County benched.
Okay, well, I am going to choose a town that may surprise you. I am taking a polar opposite approach from Milwaukee, and I'm going to give you guys, our listeners, the quintessential small town Wisconsin day trip or weekend getaway. I'm going to pick.
I'm so trying to guess what you're going to say because it's so tempting.
Honestly, I keep debating it. In the last 3 minutes, I've considered 9 different towns. So halfway through my answer, I may switch. But for now, I want to say Chippewa Falls.
Oh,
and the reason why I want to say Chippewa Falls is because to me, it's one of, one of the most iconically Norman Rockwell small Wisconsin towns, great little downtown. They're home to Leinenkugels. And if you're going to go on...
Mic drop.
If you're going to go on a classic Wisconsin brewery tour, it doesn't get more iconic than Leinenkugels and their Liney Lodge. And you can actually get a tour from an actual Leinenkugel family member. They've also got a great little zoo there. They've got an old school little meat shop with an ice cream parlor right across the street. So if you want a very nostalgic trip to the area, and the surrounding area of Chippewa Falls is so beautiful. There's no shortage of parks. In fact, I know there's a state park super duper close, Lake Wissota State Park, I want to say. Yeah. So you can kind of, I feel like if you want to get that really classic Wisconsin getaway and something that's representative of the West Side, I would say Chippewa Falls is up there. But I will admit there's literally 9 other destinations in my head that I was going back and forth on. You can't really go wrong on that side.
But Chippewa Falls represent, though. That's a good example of a great place on the west half of the state, without question.
Where's my chime? Thank you so much.
I don't have to ask for it.
I know. I noticed that. I have to beg for my chime. I get called out immediately when I say the wrong highway name, but if I have a great destination, I get nothing.
Yeah, the soundboard is tough to please over here, unless you're on the East Coast.
Right.
It's funny because right along the boundary of the east and west side of Wisconsin, which I'd say was probably US 51, there's a lot of cool stuff along those too, but neither one of us knows who claims that side. We could talk about the Dillinger shootout thing near Manitouish Waters. We could talk about everything in Wausau. And
yeah, I feel like a north side, south side thing just doesn't feel right. It feels like they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
They are. East and west are pretty different too. That's the...
I mean,
saw that in the fact that which destinations we picked.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee, Lafarge, Wisconsin. Yes. Yeah, they're
significantly different halves of the state, but that's what makes Wisconsin such a complete place.
And I think what was so interesting was we called out, I mean, just in your own answers on the east side versus mine on the west side, there's so much diversity. You know, you talk Milwaukee, then you're also talking some of those teeny tiny towns that are maybe close to Milwaukee but feel completely different. It just goes to show just how diverse the whole state is. you know.
And in close proximity, too.
Right.
Should we call a truce?
I'm not
That's
ready.
That's no fun, but
I'm
sure.
not ready to truce yet. I just need to.
No, she hasn't gone through all her online insult generators yet.
We'll have to see what the listeners think and see if they were swayed by my sound effects pushing them towards the East Coast. We'll have to see.
And if you've got ideas for some insults that I can throw at Audio Dave and oh, Eric's boy. Way,
uh-oh.
Hit me up in the DMs.
I was going to say, if you put it in around the campfire, please be PG.
No, this was fun. I'm convinced by both arguments. I want to go see more of Wisconsin.
So politically correct of you, Audio Dave.
Yeah, what kind of team partner are you? We're supposed to squash them.
Oh, okay. I was going to, you know, unite as one for the end of the episode, but yeah, we can keep this going.
I will say it felt very strange to be like not promoting a certain part of the state for a good 10 minutes of my life. I feel like my whole career, not my whole career, but half my career has been the whole state. And I just had to get very, you know, not out of that frame of mind for that was kind of interesting, but I liked it. So now we got to do, I'm all about the north side, south side thing. But the real question is who's going to take which hemisphere?
We'll have to flip a coin. It has to be fair.
Are we going above and below 45 degrees or how are we doing that?
Above
or below Highway 29?
We're
going
to have to define
Highway
where
29.
Northern Wisconsin starts before we get into this.
I was going
to
say, we've got to settle that debate
for
sure.
We got to give ourselves like a month in between these battles, you guys.
Or we'll never get along.
I think you're right. And really deciding where up north starts is the key.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Geographically, it kind of looks like US 10, but you know everybody's going to debate, so...
All right, well, this episode of The Cabin is sponsored in part by Group Health Trust. Group Health Trust has partnered with Discover Wisconsin to share a number of educational blogs through our blog, The Bobber. This month, we're featuring a blog that's all about partners in recovery. This article was written by Tanny Craigie, a drug poisoning prevention team supervisor at Safe Communities MDC. This blog post dives into the health risks that come along with substance use disorders and how recovery coaches are in place to support people in both the best and in the worst of times. You can check out this blog at bobber.discoverwisconsin.com. Definitely a very important topic. Okay, so summer is, I can't even say this sentence.
It's sad.
Summer's, no, is it winding down?
Boo.
Ugh, I can't handle it. Anyway, apparently according to this script, summer is winding down.
Apparently the words we're supposed to read say this.
We hope over the last few months, you've been able to plan some summer trips and check out the destinations we've covered here on the podcast. Don't forget to send this episode and really all of our other episodes. And now that we're up to number 32, that's a lot, you guys.
It is.
It's all jumbled in my head now.
Maybe start them with an episode where we're all friends.
Yeah, maybe don't send your friends this. Well, I mean, you could. This is pretty representative of our relationship, so I think it's fine. Anyway, send it to your friends, your family, your coworkers. Send me a screenshot if you do, and I will shout you out in the next episode or a future episode of the Cabin Podcast. And when you do share it, make sure you tell them to leave a 5-star review. That would be really nice. Thank you.
Wouldn't it, though? Next week, we'll have a new campfire conversation ready for you, and the behind-the-scenes segment will be back.
Ooh.
Yes.
What are we going behind the scenes on?
Well, I know we said we wrapped up season 33 of Discover Wisconsin, but we had one episode kind of tucked in our back pocket here, and we're ready to share it with you. So be prepared for that because we're going behind the scenes on our new Minocqua episode. And believe me, it's a good one because I'm in it a lot.
It's really good. Ooh,
I'm dressed as a cow and I snowmobile in that episode.
I was going to say, you have like the most Hollywood moment in your cow costume. It's kind of a Hollywood moment where the camera like zooms in on your, it's like super close to your face. You just seemed like
when
you were,
I pose?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were in your element for sure.
It was very Eric. I love that.
Like, that was more of a New York fashion runway moment instead of a Hollywood, but you know, that's fine.
That's what you were going for. Okay.
I'll take it.
See, he still sides on the East Coast.
Oh, I like it. Well done.
Very good, Ellen. I'm keeping my loyalties right where they should be, right? So our campfire conversation will be covering a highly requested topic, talking scenic Wisconsin drives to see the best fall colors. This might be the North versus South where the North would win, right?
This is going to be, I have a feeling, one of our most listened to podcast episodes.
I guess summer can wind down if it leads to fall colors. I guess that, I'm okay with that.
I agree. I am ready for that.
And we're giving you enough time to plan your trip.
Yay. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us a review.
That was very fast, Mariah.
And that's why we don't pre-record that.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Sorry.
Motorheads and fans of the Heydays Motorsports Festival may have been disappointed to hear about this year's event cancellation, but the World Championship Derby Complex of Eagle River has taken the opportunity to bring such an event across the border to Wisconsin with their own fall motorsports show and swap.
We've got 30 acres of land here with all this open space. We thought it would be an opportunity to pick up the event that they had in Minnesota and try to follow somewhat of the same format, meaning swap meet, displayers. We'll have a show on Friday night and the people will be spread out, distancing, and we'll have hand sanitizers all over. We'll be in good shape from a conservative standpoint of making sure everything stays safe for people.
With almost 200 local swappers and more than 60 manufacturers in attendance, there will be plenty of great deals to be found at the swap meet.
People are allowed to come in, bring trailers with their collectibles of things that they've gathered through the year that they can sell at a super price. It's kind of a social event for that mentality of motorsports people.
Friday's Under the Lights show promises to be the highlight of the weekend, featuring a jump team performing Wisconsin's first UTV flip.
Octane Addictions are the promoter of this event. They'll have ramps set up, they'll have the jumpers, four named jumpers. These guys are anxious to be able to come out and show the crowd what they can do. And these guys put on one heck of a show. It'll be a safe environment for the local community so they feel good in being able to come out and talk to their fellow motorheads and have something to do for the entire weekend.
And now you know your Wisconsin.